1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture that I have been in several times, but God gave me some things out of this that I believe we need in our lives right now. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to take a similar title that I used for another message just a little while back, and I'm going to use that title, change one word in it. But then it's coming from a different passage and a totally different message. And so I believe that God has given me what we all need today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want you to look at verse 57 and verse number 58. 1 Samuel 17, verse 57 and verse 58. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Many of you are familiar with this story. This is the story of David and his slaying Goliath. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Verse 1 of chapter 18, and also verse number 2. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. In other words, he received a position, a promotion within the kingdom of God. I want to speak this morning on this subject, how to become what God desires you to be. How to become what God desires you to be. I'm going to give you what God gave to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to assemble here today. Father, thank you for the worship service that we have had. Father, we don't take that for granted, and so we give you the praise for that and how it spoke to our hearts. And then, Father, we ask that now while we have our attention turned to these few moments to your word, we pray that you would speak to every heart in this building. I pray that you would speak to every young person, every man, every woman, those that are saved and those that are lost. Oh, God, please move in a mighty way. Do what only you can do. Move me out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Please take full control now. And again, Father, I promise I'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for that which takes place in Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said,
amen.
You know, 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a very familiar passage of scripture. You literally could preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Even while I was preparing the message that I'm going to give to you today, I just noticed certain things that just started jumping out of this passage. And sometimes as a preacher, you have to try to keep yourself in line so that you don't deviate from what you believe the Lord would have for you. But I could preach a message from this passage on what happens when you trust God. There are certain things that could happen. 1 Samuel 17, 45 says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." We could preach on what happens when you trust God, dealing with that passage as our text. I have already preached a message out of this passage entitled "How to Get Ahead in Life," and that was a play on words, where literally in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 54, where David literally had the head of the Philistine in his hand. And so I preached a message on how to get ahead in life, a play on words from that passage. You could preach a message from this passage on the battle is not yours but God's. Matter of fact, 1 Samuel 17, 47 says, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I preach another message on why was David so great from this passage. You can also preach on how to slay the giants or Goliath must fall. Those are just a few sermons that could come from this passage. But today I'm preaching on how to become what God desires you to be. And David in this passage became what God desired him to be. Now, before I even get into my points, I've got to say that you can never become what God wants you to be until you do what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse number 7, where he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." See, you can never enter into what you need to be until you have first been blood bought and blood washed. And praise God, Jesus paid for your sins on Calvary. All you've got to do is just by faith and repentance receive him as your Lord and Savior, and he will clean you up on the inside and give you what you need in order to be able to live for him. Put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Give you the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Everything I'm talking about is simultaneously at the moment you trust Christ so that he can live the life through you. Sometimes a person will not get saved because they say, "Well, I can't live it. You don't know the kind of life that I have." But see, you cannot live the Christian life, but Christ can live it through you. The Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We can't live it, but he can live it through us. So you must repent and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the way, we know David. David was a child of God. Matter of fact, David said in Psalm 23, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David lost a child one time, and David said, "You know something?" David said, "He can't come to me." He said, "But I can go to him." See, David was a child of God, and you can never be what you need to be until you've been saved by God's grace. So now, with that in mind, I'm speaking primarily now to save people. Those who have been blood washed, those who have their names written in heaven. So now, how do you become what God desires you to be? Number one, don't run from your battles. Don't run from your battles. How to become what God desires you to be? Don't run from your battles. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 3. 1 Samuel 17, notice verse number 3. "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." Notice verse 8 down through verse number 11. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Notice verse 11. "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Notice verse 16 down through verse 18. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Watch verse number 22. "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Notice verse 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. See, David became what God desired him to be because he did not run from his battles. See, David believed that he could be victorious over Goliath because of the battles he had previously fought. Think about it. David had fought a lion. David had fought a bear. And I know the passage can be somewhat, you know, ambiguous. I understand that. You know, whether it was a time when a bear came, or whether it was a time, another time when a lion came, or when both of them were together. I know it's somewhat ambiguous because even in verse 35 it says, and when he arose against me. And so now it uses a single personal pronoun. So it could have been that they were both together. It could have been that maybe there was a time when one came and got a kid, and a time when another came and got a kid. Or it could have been that both of them came together and he slew the bear maybe from behind and the lion rose up against him. But be that as it may, get the point. He had to kill a lion. He had to kill a bear. And those battles gave him the courage to know that if God could bring me through that battle, then God could bring me through this battle that I'm about to face with Goliath, and so I am not about to run. For the child of God, there's no armor for the back. Everything is for the front. That means that God does not want his children running. He wants his children standing. And in order for you to become what God desires for you to be, then that means that you must not run from your battles. David stood, and when you stand, you get more strength to stand in the next battle. As I was even processing this through my mind, and I was running some things and looking at some things, I was thinking about this battle. And that's why I'm, like I said, the passage is ambiguous, but understand something. He literally was putting his life on the line. Now, if it was a dual thing, a lion and a bear together, and they took one lamb, then it had to be some kind of divine influence, because a lion and a bear, they're not going to hunt together. Are you following me? So then if the lion and the bear were together and they only got one, then you know that God had to be behind that somehow, manipulating things, which meant that it would have been a test for David. You say, well, God can't manipulate the animal kingdom. Oh, yes, he can. There was a prophet out there one time who needed to have some bread and needed to have some flesh. And what did God do? God had the ravens to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. God can manipulate the animal kingdom if he so desires. Matter of fact, you check out some things in Revelation, you see that God can manipulate the animal kingdom. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm not trying to get this thing to walk on all fours. Okay, that's but I'm not trying, as I've said before. But I am trying to draw anything that I can draw out of the passage. And see, here's one thing about the passage that I'm trying to look at. If God allows something to come in our lives, a battle, because God could save us from any battle. He doesn't have to allow something to come in. He could stop any battle in our lives. But if he allows a battle to come in our lives, then that means that he wants us to stand and fight for what we believe based upon the word of God. Don't run from your battles so you'll never become what God desires for you to become, running from your battles. See, God can use the smaller battles to prepare you for the bigger battles, for the larger battles. And see, those larger battles, God will use to bring you into a place of blessing and a place of recognition, even though you're not looking for that, but that's just the way God operates. And a place of recognition that you would not have had before had you not stand and fight. Or had not stood and fight the battle. You'll never become it. Never running from your battles. Don't run from your battles. You've got to trust God to give you the victory over your battles. Don't run from them. Secondly, don't let people cause you to look down on yourself. If you're ever going to become what God desires for you to be, don't let people cause you to look down on yourself. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and notice verse 26. It says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Notice verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Few sheep. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Notice verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Notice verse 41 down through verse 44. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained, that literally means he belittled him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, that means he had a reddish complexion, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs, literally means with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Now think about what was going on. David's brother literally belittled him. David's king looked down on him and told him, you're just too young. Goliath belittled him. And by the way, David could have just stopped and he could have had a pity party. He could have said, my oldest brother, he doesn't believe in me. He could have stopped and said, my king, he doesn't believe him. He just thinks I'm too young. He could have stopped and said, this 9-foot-9-inch giant, he's belittling me and telling me that what he's going to do to me, bullying me, if you please. And he could have literally looked down on himself Let me make an application. Some people could be leaders in the Lord's work. Some people could be great servants of God. Some people could be successful not only in the spiritual realm, but even in the secular realm. But they have bought into the fact that somebody has sold them a bill of goods, that they don't have what it takes. Either you're too dumb, or you're too young, or you're too old, or you're too ugly, or you'll never amount to anything, or you're a failure, or you're too tall, or you're too short, or you just don't have the intellect. You can have all throughout life, you have negative things that come at you that just bash you, bash you, bash you, bash you. You have to make a choice. Are you going to allow the negative stimuli to cause you to formulate a negative opinion about yourself? Or will you take every negative thing that somebody says about you and use it as a stepping stone to rise higher instead of a stumbling block to trip? See, we all have negative things that people have said about us from the time we were young, whether it's on the school ground, and don't think it cannot affect you. It can affect you when you're young, and sometimes a younger person does not know how to handle that. But after we get a little bit of age on us and we realize who we are in Christ, people can say negative things, but it ought not to change who you are on the inside. If somebody says you can't, then say, with God, I can. Matter of fact, I remember the Apostle Paul saying something like this. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You got to understand, David's a young man. David's a teenager. He's not an adult. David's a young man. But David did not allow the negative stuff that was coming at him to affect who he is. Because see, what will happen is, if we're not careful, we can allow negative stuff to come at us, and it can affect us in one or two ways, and either way, it can be detrimental to our success. One can be, it can get us to where we're just constantly looking down on ourselves, feel like we can't do anything, we can't achieve anything, we can't accomplish anything. Then you start comparing other people to yourself and then thinking, well, I'm not like so-and-so, and I'm not like so-and-so, and I'm not like so-and-so, and this person has this gift, and this person has that gift, and this person has this. And what happens is, when negative stuff starts coming in, you start looking down on yourself, comparing yourself with others. You'll never be able to be what God desires you to be because you spend too much time comparing yourself to other people and wishing you were like somebody else. You can look in the passage. I don't have it here in my notes, but you can look in the passage. David had an opportunity to wear Saul's armor. David put on Saul's armor. David started to go. He said he'll say to go. He tried to go. But David said, I cannot go with these, because David is saying, this is not who I am. I don't know how to, you know, to use these instruments and to wear this thing like you. I cannot go with these. And what I have may be primitive in nature, but I know how to handle these stones. I know how to handle this sling. I know the ability that God has given to me. And it may not be a polished sword, but it'll get the job done. Hey, I'd much rather have somebody with a rock and a sling who knows exactly what they're doing than somebody who's got a polished sword like Peter and end up chopping somebody's ear off than not getting the job done. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. In life, if you're ever going to be what God desires for you to be, learn to be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. And in order for you to be yourself, you've got to stop looking down on yourself and then realize who you are in the Lord. David was constantly bombarded, but he did not let people cause him to look down on himself. Notice what David said in verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Listen, David didn't allow what people had said to cause him to form a negative opinion about himself that caused him to be halt in his position. No, he understood that through God, all things are possible. And he said, God will bring about the deliverance. How to become what God desires you to be. Number one, don't run from your battles. Number two, don't let people cause you to look down on yourself. And I didn't say that we cannot better ourselves. We ought to try to better ourselves. But don't look down. My pastor in South Carolina used to always say, don't always focus on the inside. He said, because if you look too much on the inside, he said, you'll start feeling down about yourself. He said, take a look on the inside, but don't stay there. You can take a look on the inside and then realize that God can work through you. He can help you, and he can cause you to be successful. So how do you become what God desires you to be? Number one, I said, don't run from your battles. Number two, don't let people cause you to look down on yourself. Number three, don't allow your age to hinder you. Don't allow your age to hinder you. Notice 1 Samuel 17. Notice verse 33 and verse 37. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Notice verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, go, and the Lord be with thee. David was just a teenager, and yet he did not allow his age to stop him from becoming what God desired him to be. Even as a teenager, he had enough experience already behind him with the lion and with the bear to where he believed that he could be victorious over Goliath. Don't let your age stop you. Don't think that you're too young to serve. Don't think you're too young to commit. Don't think you're too old to serve. Don't think you're too old to commit. Don't allow your age to be a hindrance to you. God can work through you just like he did through David. The Bible does not tell us how old David was. It doesn't. So what makes you think he was a teenager? Well, we know that David was not old enough to serve in the army. We understand that. You're supposed to be at least 20 years or older in order to be able to serve in the army. We understand. I could give you a number of scriptures, but I'll just give you this one. Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. It says, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And we know at least three of David's brothers were old enough to fight, and David was too young to fight. Also, all the words that they used concerning David, they looked at him as a youth. If you had had somebody who was 20 years old and upward that came from the army out there, Goliath would not have reacted the same way. He said, just give me a man. Give me a man that I may fight against him. But they looked at David. He said, now, wait a minute. You send a little kid at me? I mean, I'm not a dog. You send somebody out here coming to me with sticks, even though he didn't have sticks in hand, but unless he had a staff. But he said, you come out here with sticks. He said, I'm going to make you bird food. Young. He was a young man. See, regardless of how young you are, you can give yourself in service to God. You can serve the Lord at a young age. You say, well, I'm too old to serve. You know when you're too old to serve? When you're in the grave. There's always something that can be done. Even if you can just pray, you can do something. Don't allow your age to hinder you. David did not allow his age to hinder him. Number four, and please get this one. Number four, how to become what God desires you to be. Number four, don't fail to live for a cause greater than yourself. I need to say that again. Don't fail to live for a cause greater than yourself. Notice 1 Samuel 17, verse 28 and verse 29. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Listen, David was living for a cause greater than himself. Now, what made David go after the lion? What made David go after the bear? There was a lamb that was defenseless and needed some help. And so David, not thinking primarily about his own safety, because if he had just thought primarily about his own safety, then he probably would have done what the average person in some cases would have done, and he would have gone the other way. But he went after the lion. He went after the bear because he had a cause greater than himself. The job that David had was to care for those sheep, to watch over those sheep. He had a cause greater than himself. What made him determine that he was going to go after Goliath? He had a cause greater than himself. Here you had a giant that was out there defying the armies of the living God. And when you are defying the armies of the living God, you're defying God. And David said, there's a cause here that's greater than me. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? See, in order to become what God desires for you to be, you've got to find something that moves you that's greater than who you are. Because, see, if we are self-absorbed, then we will never become what God desires us to be. But when we instinctively react under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to that which is greater than us, then that's when you can begin to see victories, and then that's when God can move you into what he desires for you to have. In each case, David has taken his life into his own hands. Facing a lion, facing a bear, and facing a giant. And all three could kill him. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, and I quote, a man who won't die for something is not fit to live. Let that soak in. Think about what he's saying. I'm going to quote it again. A man who won't die for something is not fit to live. He didn't make it to his 40th birthday. Didn't make it to his 40th birthday. But how many people know about him? When we get something that is bigger than ourselves to live for, it will cause us to become what God desires for us to be. See, that means that we need to live for God. That's a cause greater than ourselves. That means we must live for souls. That's a cause greater than ourselves. We're talking about eternity between heaven and hell. That's greater than our own desire. Live for your family. That's a cause greater than yourself. Get concerned about something. That's a cause. More so than just about yourself. I've told this story here before, but it fits in with what I'm saying. When I was a senior in high school, I weighed 114 pounds. As a senior in high school, I was 5'9" tall. My mother, whom I lived with, she did not set the best example before me. I love my mother, and I'm not joking. I love my mother. One of the reasons why I got out of the Marine Corps, besides the fact that I wanted to serve God, was number one. Was number two, I wanted to make sure my mother had a place. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, she came and lived with me for a few years. That's a cause. But when I was growing up as a teenager, she didn't set an example before me. My mother wasn't saved. I mean, she claimed to be saved, but there was no fruit there. And so I knew she was, because I lived with her, and I wasn't saved. And my mother would shack up with men. If you don't, I think most of us in here understand what that is. I would go to school a lot of times as a teenager, and I would be embarrassed. I wasn't saved. And the young men that would be there in school and so forth, and they would come by the house, and they would be in school. They'd say, who's that in your house? And I said, well, that's my uncle. I lied. I was lost. But I was embarrassed. But I love my mother. One time she was living with a man. Or he was living with her. That's normally the way it is. Do I need to stop and preach on that one? Amen. 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 Well, maybe I need to. Young ladies, see, you done made me preach. You don't let some man come move up in your house, eat your groceries, enjoy your light bill, watch your TV, and mess over your life and move on to somebody else. If he's not willing to put a ring on your finger so you can do that, and he gets forceful, then you do that. You know what I mean. And I've been a little facetious there, but don't let anybody mess over you. You're worth more than that. And see, by the way, that's one of the reasons why sometimes people would do that. If you do not have a good self-image, if you don't have a good self-image, then you'll take a guy that comes by with his pants sagging, wouldn't know a job from a jug of water, and you'll allow him to move into your house, mess over your life, and if you've got kids, mess over your kids, and you lose respect, and like I said, he'll move on. If you respect yourself, and you have the right image of yourself through Christ, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And as somebody said, pardon my grammar, God don't make no junk. And when you see yourself as God sees you, then you're not going to let somebody come in and mess over you. And you're going to get God's best for your life. Well, my mother was living with a man. And this man was about between 6'3 and 6'5, somewhere up in there, about 250 pounds. One day I was sitting in a chair. My mother was sitting on a couch along with him. We were there in the living room. And an argument ensued, and that 250-pound, 6'3 to 6'5-inch man took his fist and hit my mother in the mouth with me sitting there. I was 5'9", 114 pounds, and I said something to him, and he jumped up, and I jumped up, and my mother jumped up, and we were about to go at it, and I'm serious about this. We were about to go at it. My mother jumped in between the two of us to stop us. You say, preacher, and by the way, I wasn't saved then. But by the way, if I was saved, do you understand what I'm saying? If I was saved, I'm not going to sit there and let him hit my mother in the mouth. You understand what I'm saying? So I jumped up. Why? Because I wasn't thinking. At that point, I wasn't thinking that this man outweighs me by almost 140 pounds. I wasn't thinking that this man was several inches taller than me. Only thing I thought in my mind, you will not hit my mother and get away with it. See, it was a cause greater than myself. And I stood up to this man, and if my mother had not stepped in between the two of us, yes, he may have beat me, but by God's grace, he would have known he had been in a fight, because you're not going to do that to my mother. There is a cause that oftentimes when you live for, when it becomes greater than yourself, you don't think about yourself. You think about the cause. And the cause is what motivates you. Next month, I would have been preaching for 32 years. Why is it that I've been preaching for 32 years? It's because God called me to a cause that's greater than myself. If I became the president of the United States, I'd have to step down from pastoring to become the president. That's not a step up. This is a cause greater than being the president of the United States. Because, see, he's dealing in the temporal. I'm dealing in the eternal. And that would be a step down for me. There's a cause. There's a cause. What is your cause? What is it today that motivates you, that causes you to get up in the morning, that causes you to go throughout the day, that causes you to live right before God, that causes you to keep your life clean, that causes you to have a concern? What is your cause? David had a cause that was bigger than himself. You know what David's cause was? Watch this. 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 46 in closing. Watch this. 1 Samuel 17. Watch verse 45 and verse 46. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David had a cause greater than himself. David didn't say, "I want everybody to know about me." He said, "I want everybody to know. I want the earth to know." That's whether you're the Israelites or whether you're the Philistines. When those who are around hear about it, I want everybody to know that there is a God in Israel. See, the cause ought to be for the glory of God Almighty. And Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's live in such a way that people know that there's a God, not only in Israel, there's a God in heaven. Let's bow for prayer.